Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about the elements that build a strong family foundation. And for more information about family resources, you'll find them at mystronghome.com.
Well, this is, it was kind of a watershed for us because as we began to realize that there were certain blocks, building blocks in the family foundation, that was really helpful because there's just so much to think about when you're raising a family. You've got your marriage issues that you're negotiating. You got your child, and then you're starting your career or you're in the middle of your career, whatever. You put all that together. And as I look at these blocks, discipline, instruction, memories, industry, and individuality, those things have a lot of meaning to us because we've been interacting with them for a while now. And we want to invite you into that conversation because it's only going to help you in your own strong home or help you to encourage somebody else to build a strong home.
Yeah. In the midst of building a marriage and a family, it's easy to forget that there really is an overarching purpose of this all, and it's to perpetuate and demonstrate and reveal the will and love of God to your sphere of influence, and in reality, far beyond your own sphere, just by how the body works and affects all the other parts, even if we can't see it or perceive it.
Today, we're going to be talking about the all-encompassing teaching on parenting in the scriptures, which, there's not a lot. It's all of it's either seen or inferred based upon families that are in the Bible, and they're not all real positive examples. But there are two things that seem to emerge as you look at everything that the scriptures seem to teach, and it relates to discipline and instruction. And we've touched on this a little bit, but we want to develop it a little bit more because how do you develop a home that is a good balance, a good mixture of discipline and instruction, because you need both in order to really get your kids where they need to be.
I think one of the big things for me was realizing that the reason for discipline is to instruct. And so when I could see that the real goal for that was instruction, then it didn't feel so much just like the word discipline to me. I felt like it had a goal, it had a purpose, and it just changed everything for me.
Well, we all know what bad examples of discipline are, that involve punishment and different things like that. And that's why it's important to have a healthy understanding of what the scriptures are teaching about it. So let's dive right in and start talking about discipline, which we'll add to that as we discuss instruction and how they go together. Now, if you remember, it's a family workshop. So if you had page 40 right now of the workshop, which you can find at mystronghome.com, you would have a checkoff list and it'd have two columns because some things are more important to the male in the family, some things are more important to the female, vice versa. And so you kind of have to decide which are the things that that you feel like you've got.
Yeah,
and
sometimes
what do you want to work on?
Sometimes you and I went through them and I would think, I'm doing okay in this right now. And you would rate yourself lower because you felt like, I'm letting that one slip, and vice versa. And it's just good to look at them together.
Well, here are some things to consider when you think about the idea of discipline, providing discipline and instruction at home, but particularly the area of discipline. First of all, I'm committed to discipline that is firm, consistent, non-abusive, and born of principle, discussion, and agreement.
Yeah, I'd say this is pretty difficult starting out because mothers tend toward being nurturers and sometimes being softies, and dads tend toward protecting, and kids generally go to their dads when they're feeling unsafe and to their moms when they need boosting or fueling or nurturing. But working this out is difficult because we don't often recognize that what the other is offering is complementary to what we offer, that it actually takes both, not just one or the other.
That's why I think those three words, born of principle, which, that's what you find in the Word of God and in the truth of the wisdom of God. Also born of discussion, because we do have different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And then it's important to be in agreement when we are applying discipline. So firm, consistent, and non-abusive. My, have we seen the spectrum of that over our lifetime?
Yeah, we have. In fact, part of the spectrum is because we so badly don't want to be abusive that sometimes we're almost abusive in another way by not giving our kids any kind of a safe playground to be in. We don't give them any kind of fences.
Well, and what I've observed in my time is that, if you create an environment that does not have parameters, then you'll probably have children or a child that acts like a brat. And brats, and I know that's not a very politically correct term, but they don't make friends easily, and people don't like them. So the whole idea of being able to live within parameters, that's one of the big jobs that a parent is supposed to gently, kindly, and firmly teach their children.
Well, and one of the reasons you want to do this, you can actually Google this. If you look up, there have been many studies done about kids on a playground where there is a fence and kids on a playground where there is no fence. And when there is no fence, the kids tend to huddle around the teacher or the parents or the adults. With a fence, the kids feel safe to roam and explore because they know how far they can go and they know how far it's safe. And they know that the adults are in that area with them. It's the same thing with giving boundaries in their lives. They'll feel safer to explore when they know where their boundaries are, where your boundaries are for them. And while they're not actually on a playground, they really want to know what's acceptable. Can I throw food? Can I stand in my high chair? And everything on up from that. So knowing all this is when I realized that kids, giving kids clearly defined boundaries, they actually want that, and it's actually merciful.
Well, and that leads to a question is, you know, when do we start? You know, when do you start with the whole process of giving your children boundaries and parameters? And our rule of thumb, and it was basically that when your rights, where your rights ended, where another person's nose began. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, even at a young age, we began to appropriately discipline and teach our children about what were the parameters. So, for instance, you know, if you have a child who's a year old and they smack somebody in the face, well, you know, that's not acceptable. And if they're old enough to smack somebody in the face, they are old enough to begin to deal with what it means to place strictures on them.
And what's going on in their heart. And it starts often much younger than that when they start going after the electrical socket, things that you want to redirect, but it's more than just redirecting. It's helping them understand that that's dangerous and you really absolutely cannot do
and
that.
And where discipline fits in is that what good does it do to say, honey, don't do that. Honey, don't do that. Because some of that is necessary depending upon the age, but primarily you want them to learn the parameters, and they're not going to understand being shocked by an electrical outlet. That's not going to make any sense to them, but they can understand what it's like to please or displease their parent.
And it's different when you start kind of for each kid, because each child starts showing and developing at a different stage. And what I also discovered about our third child was that at some point I thought, wow, I don't feel like I'm training him the same I did the first two. And I started observing myself and observing our family. All of a sudden I realized my two older kids were constantly telling him what to do and what, like with the outlet and with different things like that. They were actually instructing him. It was kind of cool.
So in this whole process of kind of laying things out for a child appropriate to the age and getting started early and being appropriate with what you do and how you discipline, we applied the process of discipline, comfort, and redirection. And that's incredibly important because it's not just good enough to discipline or to tell somebody they're doing something wrong. What about that process of doing the discipline, then adding comfort to it, and then redirecting a child? And even as I'm saying that, I'm thinking, well, what does that look like? Well, it looks different with almost every age group of child, but the process is incredibly important because you don't want kids to get stuck on failure or on not following through on what they're supposed to do. Where you want them to go is understand the process of learning in life, and that's where the redirection comes from.
Yeah, it's not uncommon to see parents apply discipline without the comfort or without the redirection, but it's also easy to just always redirect your kids, and then you have an exhausted parent because they're not taking the time to actually instruct, comfort, and redirect.
I'm going to make an executive decision here, Bernadette, while we're just on the fly, because there's no way we're going to be able to talk all the way through discipline and instruction. So we'll save that for the next time together.
Okay.
But there are several things left to discuss on discipline. And if you're listening to me right now and you're going, man, this guy's a kind of a hardcore kind of a dude.
Well, that's why you had me.
Yeah, we worked together on it, and hopefully you're recognizing that about her. But the reality is that you want what's best for your children, and by providing an atmosphere of good, solid discipline, you're going to lead them in that. So that leads to we pursue the concept of moving our children solidly toward a life of ruling their own spirit, independent from us.
Yeah, exactly. The goal is that they'll begin to exercise their own self-control. Little by little, all of a sudden you see a three-year-old determine that they shouldn't have a tantrum, or you will see them determine that they're really mad and want to take that toy, but they start to learn how to work it through. I mean, the little things that you've taken the time to see it, all of a sudden you begin to see them exercise it themselves. That's really rewarding. And it's also what keeps you going. It's what makes you go, I'm going to keep doing this, because it's rewarding.
Well, what's more fun than, when a child is 5 or 6 or whatever, and you actually can begin that pivot of saying, well, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you should do? What do you think the right thing to do in this situation?
Uh-huh. Or that didn't work. What's another way that it could have happened?
Well, the principle that's here is there's a discussion of what it means to rule your own spirit. And you can find that in the Proverbs. And that idea is that we're supposed to be masters over our own spirit. So in that, parents are important to discuss that. So to be out of control, to not be able to, color within the lines, that's just not good for us. And it certainly doesn't lead us to be able to rule our own spirit.
The other thing that kind of goes along with that, we right now are talking about young children, but as your kids get older, they still need discipline. They go through the grief process, you build them up. But it's really important at that stage, too, for them to see me recognize that I have not been disciplined about something, and that I'm kind of having to pay the price, and I have to humble myself and continue to rule my own spirit and ask God to rule my spirit. It's the whole family thing, doing it together.
Yeah, and I'm thinking right now, a picture is coming into my mind of our first child, and I can remember when she got old enough, she was a late crawler, so she wasn't real mobile, and we really didn't have to do much because she didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But as she finally began to explore a little bit, I can remember the look on her face when she went over to a plant and began to dig the dirt out of it. And I remember saying, honey, no, don't do that. I'd go, no. And she'd look at me, and I can remember looking at me and smiling and then looking back at the plant and sticking her hand back in it. And I can remember that. I mean, she was very young, and certainly I didn't have any desire to spank my daughter at that particular point.
But what we recognized was she wasn't just going for the dirt. When we really knew that she knew what she was doing is when she looked at you and reached for the plant. So she knew she was testing the boundaries, and it was kind of her way of saying, is this really the wrong thing? I'm watching you and I'm going for the dirt. I gotta know.
So the summary here is we're creative and we're swift in the discipline process. We're forward moving. We emphasize the positive, which goes back to the first statement we made today, which is I'm committed to discipline that is firm and consistent and non-abusive, and it's born of principle, discussion, and mutual agreement between us as parents.
Absolutely. And as they get older, you have to become more and more creative, because each child is different and each situation of things that they have to learn looks different.
Well, it's great to be with you today talking about the family foundation, the important building blocks of the family. Discipline and instruction we were going to cover today, but we'll take care of that. We're also going to be talking about creating family memories, as well as developing industry, the quality of industry.
If we keep going at this rate, we're going to have to do a section each day.
ForestStream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to ForestStream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we're finding hope at ForestStream.com.